ददारि। जय राधा माधव सुजा बिहारी कोपि जाना बाला गिरि बदारी। यशोरानंदन व्रज जनारंजन यशोरनंदन व्रज जनारंजन जमुना किरवन चारी जमुना किरवन चारी जय राधा माधव गुंजा बिहारी कोपि जाना बाला गिरि बदारी। यशोरनंदन व्रज जनारंजन यशोरनंदन व्रज जनारंजन जमुना किरवन चारी जय राधा माधव पूजा बिहारी कोपि जाना बाला गिरि बदारी। जय राधा माधव पूजा बिहारी कोपि जाना बाला गिरि बदारी। So good morning to everyone and welcome to this wonderful day, September 1st, 2015, where we are serving Krishna together. I was just reading earlier this week an article written by Srila Prabhupada's guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was talking about educating children. He was making the point that all of you children are Vaishnavas just like all the adults in the room here, and so the process is really the same. It doesn't really need to be specifically adjusted just as if children were, when they engaged in the process of devotional service, it was somehow or another different than adults. So we're going to try today to have an experience here in the temple, an experience that will be applicable to everyone here. Children, adults, everybody. So It's going to be around the story we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam. We've been reading for some time about how Lord Krishna liberated or freed so many kings that were held captive by the evil King Jarasandha. So because we're reading a new chapter, I'll read the chapter summary, and then we'll chant together verse number one in the Sanskrit, and we'll go from there. Chapter 73, Lord Krishna blesses the liberated kings. This chapter relates how Lord Sri Krishna, after freeing the kings imprisoned by Jarasandha, mercifully gave them his audience and bestowed royal gifts upon them. When Lord Krishna freed the 20,800 kings Jarasandha had imprisoned, they immediately fell to the ground to pay him obeisances. They stood with joined palms and began to pray to him. Seeing their imprisoned, imprisonment as an act of mercy by the Lord to smash their false pride, the kings prayed only to be granted whatever facility their perpetual remembrance would facilitate their perpetual remembrance of his lotus feet. The Lord assured the kings that their prayer would be fulfilled. He instructed them, "Worship me by performing Vedic sacrifices and protect your subjects in accordance with the principles of religion. Fixing your mind on me, beget progeny and remain always equipoised in happiness and distress. Thus at the end your lives will surely Thus at the end of your lives you will surely attain me." Lord Krishna then saw it to it that the kings were properly bathed and dressed, and he had Sahadev offer them flower garlands, sandalwood pulp, fine clothing, and other things suitable for kings. So who's Sahadev? We heard from yesterday's class, who is Sahadev? Is this one of the Pandavas? All right, right. No, it's not one of the Pandava brothers. It's the son of Jarasandha, who Krishna made what? Right, Krishna made him the king. So Sahadev offered them flower garlands, sandalwood pulp, fine clothing, and other things suitable for kings. After having them adorned with jewels and golden ornaments, he seated them on chariots and sent them off to their respective kingdoms. In accordance with the orders of the Lord, orders the Lord had given them, they began to carry out their various duties once again. Lord Krishna, Bhima, and Arjuna then departed for Indraprastha, where they met with King Yudhisthira and related to him everything that had happened. So text number one, I'll chant and you can repeat. Sri Shuka Uvacha Ayute Dre Satat Tasto Niruda Yuri Nirjita Te Nirgata Giri Dronyam Malina Malavasasa Sri Shuku Vacha Ayute dve satanyasto Niruda yuri nirjita Te nirgata giri dronyam Malina malavasasa.
Thank you.
Ladies. Students. A word meaning Sri Sukhu Vacha, Sukadeva Goswami said, Ayute 10,000, Dwe 2, Satana, Satani, hundreds, Astau 8, Niruda, imprisoned, Yudi, in the battle, Nirjita, defeated, Te, they, Nirgata, coming out, Giridronyam, in the fortress of Giridroni, Jarasandha's capital, Malina, dirty, mala, dirty, vasasa, whose clothes. So there are six verses altogether here in one translation. So I'll just read the translation on here, and then we can discuss the experience. Sukadeva Goswami said, Jarasandha had defeated 20,800 kings in combat and thrown them into prison. These kings emerged from the Giridroni fortress. As these kings emerged from the Giridroni fortress, they appeared dirty and shabbily dressed. They were emaciated by hunger, their faces were dried up, and they were greatly weakened by their long imprisonment. You have a view when we read that description. Can you picture it in your mind? How they looked, how they were dressed, how they hadn't eaten in such a long time, probably needed a good shave also. That's what happens when you're imprisoned for a long time. But in contrast to that, the verses go on to say, the kings then beheld the Lord before them. His complexion was dark blue like the cloud of a lotus, and he wore a silk garment. He was distinguished by the Srivatsa mark on his chest. His four mighty arms, the pinkish hue of his eyes, which resembled the roar of a lotus, his lovely, cheerful face, his gleaming makara earrings, and the lotus, club, conch shell, and discs in his hands. A helmet, a jeweled necklace, a golden belt, and golden bracelets and armlets decorated his form. And on his neck, he wore both the brilliant, precious Kaustubha gem and a garland of forest flowers. The king seemed to drink his beauty with their eyes, lick him with their tongues, relish his fragrance with their nostrils, and embrace him with their arms. Their past sins now eradicated, the kings all bowed down to Lord Hari, placing their head at his feet. Beautiful description of the Lord appearing before these kings who had finally been rescued by Krishna. Now, some of the students seem to know the story when I was telling them, when we were making this point about who Sahadev was. So you may be able to answer some of these questions that I had reserved for the older devotees in the audience. So if you know the answer, you can raise your hand and we'll call on you. If you don't know the answer to these questions, then we'll call on the older devotees and try to engage in remembrance of the Lord. So the story goes that one day Krishna was in his palace and he was doing his regular business and a stranger came in. That stranger was a messenger from these kings. And the messenger told Krishna and all the assembly about how these kings had been imprisoned and how they wanted Krishna to come and rescue them. And Krishna said he would do that. But that was a long time ago. That was months and months, or maybe a year, before he actually rescues them in today's verse. So who knows what Krishna did in the meantime after he told them that he would come and rescue them? Does anybody know what did Krishna do? Yes. Right. So one of the things that Krishna did is that he went to where Jarasandha lived and then Bhima fought with him for like 20 or something days and then finally Bhima killed him. So that's one of the things that he did that took up some of the time. There's a lot of time between when Krishna promised to come and rescue these kings and when he actually did. So that's one. Who knows other things that Krishna did? None of the students, any of the older students in the room recall what Krishna, huh? Yes, he went to Hastinapur. The messenger came to Dwarka, and then Krishna went to Hastinapur. And when he went to Hastinapur, it was a big procession. Krishna's 16,000 queens were placed on palanquins and chariots, and there were army there, and they marched through the countryside. It was quite a impressive scene, a military procession with the 16,000 queens going along. So that must have taken some time to organize also, right? I mean, get all the everything ready and everyone to move. So that added some time. What else did he do? You can't answer all the questions. Yes. Right, he made the plan with Arjuna and Bhima. And whose advice did he take? Uddhava, yes, very good. Very good. Uddhava's advice he took. And so he went to Hastinapur. And what did he do when he was there? Just, there was one significant thing he did when he was there. They burned the Kandava forest. Yeah. He let Agni, the sun god, burn the Kandava forest. So the point is it took all a long time for all these things to happen. And then he was in Hastinapur, it says, for several months. So all this time after the kings got the message that Krishna was coming to rescue them, how do you think they were feeling? How do you think they were feeling there? Yes. happy. Okay, yeah, I think they got to happy. Maybe they weren't happy right away. There was something else right away. Anybody? Yes. Anger. I don't think anger. Maybe they were a little angry at Jarasandha for putting her in prison, but they weren't angry at Krishna. Yes. Disappointed. It would seem like you might be disappointed, right? I mean, after he said he was coming and he's not coming. Yes, behind her. Suffering. Yes, they were suffering. Yes, don't you? Yes. Sad. Yeah, I think all those things are sort of mixed in. I want to tell you a story so that you can maybe, especially the students, appreciate the feelings that were there, because we're trying to experience the same thing these kings experienced. Before I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I was a teacher in a preschool, a school not much different than you have at Bhaktivedanta Academy. And my job in the school was, I was the last teacher there with the students every day. So as the parents would come to pick up their children from the school, it was just me and the children there. So I saw in the eyes of those children every day, maybe something a little bit like these kings were feeling when they were in prison, you know. No, don't get me wrong. Just that they were feeling that, oh, it's been a long day. I want my mommy. I want my daddy. And so we sat around doing different activities, but I could see in their eyes that they were feeling like this. It's been a long time. I know my mommy or daddy is coming, but the time is just dragging on. I wish they were here. Has anybody felt like that, you kids, when you were waiting to get picked up to go home? Yeah, I thought that, you know, people could relate to that. You know, but, you know, it's just like that, because when these kings were waiting for Krishna, they were waiting for God to come and save them. And when we're waiting, when you're waiting for your parents, it's the same feeling. You're waiting for your parents to come. You know they're going to come. You have faith that they're going to come. And I can attest that in my year and a half, wherever I had that job as a preschool teacher, no parent ever failed to come. The parents do come. Krishna will come. And we just have to have faith. And so these kings, one of the things that they were experiencing is faith. It's one of the ways that we love God, we love Krishna, is that we have faith in him. We trust him that he's going to come. I believe it. I trust it. I exist in that. Even if I'm sad or disappointed, like you were saying, there's an anxiety that we feel in our faith to Krishna. And then, of course, when Krishna finally comes, just like when the parents finally came to pick up their kids at the school I was working in, the kid would jump up from the table and run to the parent and jump up in their arms and get a big hug. That's just how Krishna will greet us as well. We see it here. These kings, they were in prison for so long, but when they finally saw Krishna, it describes here that they seem to drink his beauty with their eyes. Can we drink with our eyes? What does it mean when it says we drink? They drank him with their eyes. Speak up, I can't hear you. Okay, I'm sure you got the answer right, but I didn't hear it. I was like, it's really nice to see him. Right. Yeah, that's a real pleasure. You know, it was a pleasure to see Krishna, so they was like drinking him with their eyes. And What about smelling him? Can you imagine you go into a nice garden and you smell all the flowers? It's very welcoming. So they smelled Krishna like that. They were really, really happy to see him. They loved him, and he loved them. And so Krishna didn't let them down. He appeared before them in this beautiful form. Now, that's one way of trying to experience Krishna. But I wanted to do something additionally here, because the verse describes Krishna in great detail. And I'm going to ask our computer man to shut off that screen up there, because we're going to try to remember Krishna. And we're going to remember him as he appeared to these kings. So I have 15 items written down here, and I want to know how many we can remember. Yes, give me one. A lotus. Yes, what was lotus? His eyes were lotus, and they were what, like, they were pink like a lotus. So that's one. Very good. What other things? Yes. He has a sign of Sri Vatsa on his chest. And what is that sign? What does it look like? It's like a footprint of some hair, isn't it? It's a tuft of hair. It's like a little hair on his chest. Sri Vatsa, yes. Other things? We have two. Yes. He wore the Kastuba gem. Yes, he had the Kastuba gem around his neck. So that's three. What other things that were in the description of Krishna? Ragatmika. Makara earrings. Yes, but now it's interesting in the word for word for the Makara earrings, and the students will be interested in this. It described them as shaped like sea monsters. The earrings are shaped like sea monsters. Okay, so now we have Makara earrings. What else? Yes. Okay, we'll give you credit for the first one. He was wearing a helmet. What kind of helmet was he wearing? We see paintings of Krishna. He's usually wearing one of these real tall helmets, right? Like a tall helmet, like especially Vishnu's. Pushkar, got any paintings for us here? Vishnu has this tall helmet that he wears. If you go to, like that one in the painting back there, but even taller than that one, big tall one. If you go to Tirupati in South India, see the deity there, he's always wearing a tall diamond-studded helmet. Okay, so what other things was he wearing? Yes. A peacock feather. You know, it's interesting. A peacock feather is not mentioned in the list of the 15 I have. But Krishna always wears a peacock feather. That's how you can tell him who he is, right? You know, you see all the coward boys coming, and you see Krishna, you see somebody has a peacock feather, you're thinking, oh, that must be Krishna coming. That's an interesting question for the older devotees. Does Krishna wear the peacock feather when he's the king in Dwarka? When he speaks Bhagavad Gita, he's depicted as wearing a peacock feather, yes. A yellow silk dhoti, yes, that's another one we had here. Good. Yes. Four strong arms, yes. And what is he holding in the hands of those arms? Club, great, a lotus, a club, a conch shell, and a disc in his four hands. He's never empty-handed, Krishna. What else was he wearing? Yes, Ru. A garland of forest flowers. Now, that's from a man who goes after the garland on the Vyasasan every day here. We would expect Prabhuji to come up with that. Yes, a garland of forest flowers. Anything else that he was wearing? Anybody can remember? Amulet. doesn't mention amulet, but do you mean arm? Kamaharu. A golden belt was there, yes, a golden belt was there on him. Yeah, well, he had a golden belt, and he had golden bracelets and armlets. That's when Trivikrambu was saying, if he was saying armlets. You know, when they have the things around the arm like this, and then the bracelets. What else? We got Mikhail. A jeweled necklace is one of them, yes. Okay, we're doing pretty good. We have a few more to go still. What else was he wearing? We haven't had anything from just the older students today. They're just too absorbed in Krishna's lotus feet to see anything else. It doesn't mention that Krishna was wearing shoes. Why do you think he wasn't wearing shoes? Does Krishna wear shoes on the battlefield? I don't know about that. But we know that what the kings did is they put their heads on Krishna's feet, and so it's probably easier if he didn't have shoes on, put it on his feet, head on his feet. Okay, let's see. We got, there's one thing that's very obvious that we've missed in the description. Yes. Blue, yes, yes, a dark blue like a cloud there. Good. And one more from that group. One more. This is, it's almost so obvious that we forget it. We've described everything that he's wearing and everything, but what's the one thing that strikes us about anybody when we see them? Hair is one, yes. How beautiful he is. Yes, we're getting there, but where do we really perceive the beauty? Yes? He wasn't carrying a flute. No, not here. He had four things in his hand. Your brother, maybe your brother can answer. Tilak, that's part of it. Yes, yes, his face. It says he had a lovely, cheerful face. A lovely, cheerful. What a wonderful thing to be greeted by when you come out of prison for years and months and everything, and you've been waiting, and then you see someone with a lovely, cheerful face to greet you. Yes, these are all things about remembrance of Krishna. And you know, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada gives us Rupa Goswami's techniques for hearing and remembering. There's one chapter there, chapter 10, techniques for hearing and remembering. And it explains there that even a situation that's not very good, it's actually adverse to our conditions in life, if we think and we meditate upon and keep in mind that the Lord Krishna, he will be merciful to me. He will come. He will come and rescue me. He will do that. If we have that faith, then any adverse situation we're in can be turned into a very favorable situation. So were these kings in a bad situation waiting for so many months for Krishna to come and free them? Were they at a disadvantage because of that? Any Rasikas here? Janmashtami Prabhu? Right, it actually deepened their relationship, the fact that he told them he was going to come, and then he didn't come for so long, because they were then, from as soon as they're getting that message, you can imagine, they're thinking, Krishna's coming to rescue me. Krishna's coming to rescue me. Krishna's coming to rescue me. And then finally, one day, and this will all happen to each and every one of us as well, this life or next life or the next life after that, one day we will have the experience of thinking that Krishna's coming, Krishna's there for me, Krishna will protect me, Krishna will deliver me from this world. And then it will happen. Krishna will actually come in before us and we'll see his lovely, cheerful face. We'll see him coming in his dark blue complexion with silken garments with the Sri Vatsa mark on his chest, a beautiful helmet, forest flowers, Kastuba gem. It'll all be there. Krishna will come and take us away. And how did these kings think after seeing Krishna? They didn't think, oh, I had such a hard time in the prison. I was so worried. They completely forgot about all of that. It didn't matter. It's like it never existed. That's what it's like when we meet Krishna, that all the past and sufferings are immediately eradicated. And all there is the beautiful form of Krishna standing in front of us. So believe it, it's going to happen. Yogeshwar Prabhu. Did the faith they had that Krishna will come to rescue them relieve them of their own obligation to seek their own freedom, seek their own liberation? Well, I think it's probably a bit of both. The security that Jarasandha had was probably pretty tight, but somehow or another they were able to get out a messenger. So because they got out a messenger, maybe there are other ways. And whether they were planning or scheming in some way to affect their own release, in one sense, doesn't mean that they weren't completely dependent upon Krishna to help them get released. I mean, that's one of the qualifications for Krishna actually coming, is that we give up our endeavor to protect ourselves. Isn't that the lesson of Draupadi in the vicious assembly? That as long as she tried to hold on and protect herself, Krishna was a little reticent about getting involved. But when she gave up that endeavor, he gave her his full mercy to them. So, but then there's the opposite, the Damodar Leela, the endeavor plus the mercy of the Lord. So this is a dynamic that goes back and forth, but I don't think it, in any situation, does it mean that the devotee, the real devotee who achieves that mercy of Krishna, completely maintains some thought or ability of their own rather than just complete surrender to Krishna. But again, complete surrender to Krishna doesn't mean being inactive or idle. Prabhupada said you may be surrendered to Krishna, but if you're walking on a path and a tiger is coming, it doesn't mean that you don't try to save yourself. You can say, Krishna, save me, but it doesn't mean you just lay down and think the tiger is not going to bother you. You want to elucidate on that, or Tom Harper?
We surrender to Krishna. And of course, we see the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj didn't try to escape or run away from home when he had his incredibly abusive father who was trying to kill him. But he simply remembered, even when he was trying to be killed, he simply remembered Krishna. Now, that's a very, very high stage. And that's natural that we might make some endeavor. We might feel some fear or whatever. But the point is, the higher principle is to remember Krishna. If we can remember Krishna and depend upon Krishna, always seeking his mercy, these are some of the symptoms of surrender.
Okay. Thank you. Yogeshwar, is it? You want to add something?
The older I get, the more complicated Krishna consciousness gets. And I think in terms of what Prabhupada would want of us, and I think he would want more of an endeavor, more of an initiative, more of an attempt to escape from the prison of the material world and bring as many people with us as we possibly can. So I guess both have to be there.
Okay, we're ready for a jailbreak. So any other points anyone has? students for us. Yes, dear.
Didn't the king's time in the prison give them cause to reflect on why they were there?
Right, and I think that's going to come out in this chapter as we move forward. They express themselves, and I think that's one of the things they express in their prayers to Krishna. You know, what they did to get themselves there, they realized that. Anything else? All right. Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Oh, one more? Lakshmimoni? I don't see her back there. Oh, okay.
Speaking through the bush, traditional. So I was just thinking that the kings then actually didn't do nothing. Like you said, they sent out a messenger. And we all know that they didn't strategically plan and figure out, well, you know, the situation is such that all we can do is get one of us out of here. So we might as well send one person to the one person who can help us. And so they helped themselves by approaching Krishna. And Prabhupada also did that because he came one man and he didn't know what to do. But in his prayer, he prayed, Krishna, you know, you do with me whatever you want to do, and I'll just be an instrument. And that was the instruction also to Arjuna, just to be an instrument. So if we can make ourselves a Krishna's instrument, then we'll be very effective, or most effective, in helping ourselves and helping others to become Krishna conscious.
Thank you very much. And with that, we'll end. Rantarachi Madhbhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.